40. She'd never felt tempted to run and hide on a birthday until this one. It was still months away, and Rainier and the children and the staff of the palace wanted to know how Her Serene Highness would like to celebrate. "I wouldn't," she told Rainier in the chauffeured black Mercedes on the way to another official dinner. Small, enclosed spaces shuttling between events, these seemed to be the only circumstances under which they saw each other these days.
"Come now, Grace, that's not like you," said Rainier, putting his hand on hers.
She withdrew it and set it on her lap, which was cocooned in peach silk shantung. The dress would be featured in all the columns the next morning, columns that would focus on the fine stitching and embroidery of her ensemble, and say little or nothing about the books she'd read to sick children at the hospital that morning, or the many hours she was spending on the upcoming Red Cross Gala, practicing the art of tedious diplomacy to ensure no donor's toes were stepped on and everyone important was appropriately flattered.
"Forgive me, Rainier," Grace said, employing her most dulcet tones. "I'm just not myself, I suppose."
Vagueness was her best strategy with her husband. He wasn't interested in depth of feeling or her thoughts. For so long, this had eaten at her, this sense that he misunderstood her and wasn't even interested in understanding her. Recently, though, she'd come to realize how much easier his limitations made her life in Monaco. If he didn't ask, she didn't have to explain herself. That way, she could preserve her strength for the times when they did disagree.
"Could you try to be back to yourself by November the 12th? He asked. "Because our subjects would very much like to pay tribute to their princess on her special day. I fear they won't understand if there is no celebration." His tone was patient enough, but she knew it would not be in another week if she didn't relent. For now, he knitted together his dark brows and pursed his full lips in a pouty smile, meant to suggest that, of course, he knew why she was feeling impatient with having to share a private moment with the principality, but they both knew what was best, what must be done. Still, Grace felt the irony of her own birthday so strongly. If Rainier made too big a fuss, she would be perceived as self-aggrandizing and even less recognized for her hard work in the principality. A veritable Marie Antoinette with an Hermes bag and diamond tiara. But if she were to do nothing for her birthday and simply go out for burgers with her family, dressed in her favorite jeans and sweater, which her old friend and favorite costume stylist Edith Head referred to as Dumpy Debbie's, she wouldn't be doing credit to her chic principality, the subjects of which expected her to look like a fashion plate at all times. She found it amazing and depressing that after 13 years of marriage and sovereignty, she was still dealing with this catch-22. Just last week, she had gone to the hospital, which she'd renovated and modernized with the same care and attention most women applied to the building of their own homes, transforming Monaco's medical establishment from ill-equipped to enviably advanced. Knowing she'd be photographed as she visited patients on the cancer ward, she had dressed in a tidy summer skirt suit, along with her chambray keds, her ugly sneakers, as 12-year-old but still fashion-conscious Caroline insisted on calling them. She asked the photographers not to capture her feet, explaining that she'd worn the sneakers instead of heels so that she could visit as many patients as possible without landing herself in the orthopedic ward. She'd thought the joke would lighten the mood, but she noticed several attending nurses frowning and one shaking her head so that Grace could see her disapproval. That nurse had been very old,
the lines from many summers spent on the beach carving deep grooves into her tanned face. Grace stifled a sigh at this common and often conflicted reaction to her presence. Reverence for her motherhood, but judgment of her educational choices. Gratitude for her charity, but resentment of her wardrobe. And most of all, pleasure in her beauty, but animosity that it hailed from a country across the ocean, a nation they resented as imperial and in cahoots with France, which sought to keep Monaco under its thumb. The mixed reactions these days were, she supposed, better than the outright hostility that Rainier had sensed early in their marriage and used as a reason to ban all her movies in the Principality. But Grace despaired that the Monégasques would ever truly embrace her as one of them, no matter what she did as their princess. They had proved much tougher to impress than the moviegoers she'd longed to captivate as an actress.